The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
Promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Brought to you by the National Cannabis Coalition.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
It to the end of the week, the end of the month, and what do you know, the end of summer as well. The Labor Day weekend approaches. I hope you're going to have a good one. Welcome to Rolla J Studios here in beautiful Portland, Oregon. I'm Radical Russ Belville here, coming to you from the Rolla J Studios, where once again, I'm all by myself. But we're going to talk a little bit about that at the end of the show, because today also marks another last here at the Russ Belville Show. Today will be the last day of National Cannabis Radio. Now, don't freak out, everybody. Don't freak out. The Russ Belville Show will be back. We are coming back on the air. Don't worry about it. We're going to keep going. But it's become clear that the National Cannabis Coalition as a political entity is going to move on with some work in doing initiatives all across the country, and they need to reorganize and put their focus on the political work, so they're not going to be doing the same level of sponsorship of the National Cannabis Radio as they had in the past. They are still going to be sponsors of the Russ Belville Show. We're still going to be involved in promoting their mission, as well as the mission of all the reform groups out there. We plan on being the umbrella show here, the media show for the cannabis reform community. So just some internal changes here. We will be off the air next week. During next week, I've got to get a few things changed around, some of the liners re-recorded, some rebranding done. But we will be back on September 10th, I believe it is. That's the next following Monday. September 10th, we will be back on the air at RadicalRuss.com. We're going to come to you right from my main website, RadicalRuss.com. You'll also find us on other websites around the net. We're going to enter into some agreements with some of the most popular marijuana websites out there to show our show live out there. So instead of just one place you can get it, you'll be able to get it from lots of different places. We're also going to continue to produce a lot of the shows that we produce here at Rolla J Studios: A Different View, Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, Irie Island Hour, Viper Hour. Great shows coming up. Plus, a lot of the shows that are network shows on National Cannabis Radio, I'm going to bring them along to the new setup as well. Still a lot of details to work out. We still got to figure out who's coming, who's staying, who's going, what we're going to do. But don't worry, the Russ Belville Show will continue, because it is my mission to provide the marijuana media for all of marijuana law reform and the cannabis culture. So stick with me. We're going to get through this again. It's going to be just fine. All right, on today's show, and again, we'll talk about that later at the end of the show, but on today's show, we've got our daily Cannabis Chronicle coming up. Some interesting stories in the news today. We're going to take a look at Paul Michael Glazer, a.k.a. Starsky, got busted on a drug possession charge. Then in Arkansas, where they got medical marijuana on the ballot, there's a new values group that is opposing it. Then we've got some news from Harborside Health Center and its landlord, who's currently fighting to evict them. We're going to move then to Oregon here in our home state and talk about the attorney general, who is cozying up with the medical marijuana community. And then finally, we'll end the news, if we got enough time, or we'll move it into hour two, of a story of a DUI cannabis suspect who was acquitted in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. So we'll talk about that and more in our Daily Cannabis Chronicle. In our Daily Toker Tunes, Herb Thrasher is going to join us. Today is the 30th anniversary of Metal Blade Records. So we got some Metal Blade music coming for you. the band Coven played at Seattle Hemp Fest, and Herb Thrasher got some great video of that. We'll check that out at 20 after. At half past, we're going to talk about PTSD and veterans. We're hoping to get a call in from Michael Kravitz from Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access. A recent editorial in the Oregonian raised his ire. And then at the end of the show, Radical Rant Time, we'll talk about the future of the Russ Belville Show and how you can help. Stick around. It's the Russ Belville Show, the independent voice of the marijuana nation. Be right back.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
We're not looking to end beer summits at the White House or change the way people behave on the campaign trail. We just believe adults, in the privacy of their homes, should be allowed to use marijuana instead of alcohol if that's what they prefer. 40 years ago, our government launched an irrational war on marijuana for reasons unrelated to the actual and limited harms of the substance. It's time for a more sensible approach. It's time to regulate marijuana. Paid for by the campaign to regulate marijuana like...
I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Farrakh has sent him a package. Anybody? What is that? Smells like a skunk. Help us legalize it. Text NCC to 420-420 and send $10 to the National Cannabis Coalition. Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis. The topic of marijuana is heating up the news, and the Russ Belville Show catches you up with today's latest headlines. Now, here's our senior news editor, Cannabis Carrie, with the Daily Cannabis Chronicle.
Carrie is off today. I'm Russ Belville with your Daily Cannabis Chronicle. News from Huffington Post. Paul Michael Glazer, marijuana possession, TV's Starsky to fight the drug charge. This from Bowling Green, Kentucky. The actor who played David Starsky in the 1970s police drama Starsky and Hutch is fighting a drug charge in Kentucky for what he says is medical marijuana from California. The Daily News in Bowling Green reports an attorney entered a not guilty plea on Thursday on behalf of the 69-year-old Paul Michael Glazer of Venice, California. Bowling Green police charged Glazer with possession of marijuana and a pipe on May 10th, hours after he read an excerpt of his young adult novel, Crystallia and the Source of Light, to students at a middle school. According to a police citation, Glazer said he had medical marijuana prescribed to him in California. He was arrested after an anonymous call to police that a man was smoking marijuana in a hotel. Well, once again, how many times do we have to tell the media people don't get prescriptions for medical marijuana? It is a recommendation for medical marijuana. If it were a prescription, we wouldn't be having this discussion right now. Prescriptions are legal. People in hotels don't call the cops when somebody in the next hotel room over is using their OxyContin, right? The problem is that it's a recommendation, and the problem is that it's still federally illegal. In fact, it's still illegal in the medical marijuana states. A lot of people get this complacency that they get their medical marijuana recommendation and they're legal. You're not legal. You are exempted from criminal prosecution. Marijuana still remains illegal in this country. Let's hope Starsky can fight this off, and if not, maybe he can get a little bit of help from Huggy Bear. News from the San Francisco Chronicle. Andrew DeMillo from the Associated Press reports groups ask Arkansas court to strike marijuana measure. Little Rock, Arkansas. A coalition seeking to have a medical marijuana proposal struck from Arkansas's November ballot told the state Supreme Court on Friday that backers didn't do enough to make sure voters know medical marijuana users could still face prosecution under federal law if the measure passes. The Coalition to Preserve Arkansas Values, which is made up of several conservative groups, asked judges to either remove the measure from the ballot or order the state to not count any votes cast for it. Election officials last week approved the ballot proposal after verifying that supporters had turned in enough signatures from registered voters. The measure would allow patients with qualifying conditions to buy marijuana from nonprofit dispensaries with a doctor's recommendation. The proposal acknowledges that marijuana is still illegal under federal law, but opponents contend in the lawsuit that it's not clear enough to voters that they could be prosecuted. Quote, given the severity of prosecution under state and federal drug laws, a more specific and affirmative statement should be at the beginning of the act. The sponsor is misleading the voter, the lawsuit said. It is not made clear to the voter that a qualifying person under the act may still be prosecuted under federal law. Ha! Well, nice try. Look, folks, the ballot measure says illegal under federal law. How much clearer does that have to be? They're really grasping at straws here, the Coalition to Preserve Arkansas Values. And I just wonder what kind of values they're trying to preserve there in Arkansas. Are we trying to preserve the value called democracy? Right? Because here you're trying to get them to not spend any money to count the votes on a citizen-initiated petition. Is that what you call your values in Arkansas? You don't believe in democracy there? Reporting from San Francisco Weekly, Chris Roberts, nation's biggest marijuana dispensary is wearing out its welcome in San Jose. It is no secret that Harborside Health Center sells medical cannabis. Harborside sells lots of it, according to U.S. Attorney Melinda Hogg, who wants to shut down the dispensary's two locations in Oakland and San Jose, in part because of Harborside's sheer size. Concourse Business Center, Harborside's landlord in San Jose, and the current target of an asset forfeiture proceeding filed by Hogg, knew full well that Harborside was in the business of selling weed. One need only watch a rerun of the Discovery Channel's Weed Wars to see Harborside in action. Concourse just didn't know marijuana was illegal, according to court papers filed this week. In a motion filed in federal court Wednesday, Concourse, which is in the process of trying to evict Harborside from the property before the feds can take it, asked a federal judge to stop Harborside Health Center's marijuana trade. The move appears designed to keep the property out of the feds' hands, but Harborside's president Thursday pledged to stay put. Already, Hogg's office has shut down more than a dozen dispensaries in the Bay Area since last October. She issued letters to pot clubs threatening asset forfeiture and jail time if they didn't close. Harborside, with more than 100,000 registered members, aka patients, would be the biggest haul to date for the feds, which has yet to seize any dispensary property in court. Oh, wow. This is like the entire news today is all about grasping at straws. We're going to lock up Starsky. We're going to go after Arkansas because they didn't make it ultra, ultra clear that you really, 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 really could get busted for weed by the feds. And now the lawsuit against Harborside by this Concourse group claims they didn't know marijuana is illegal. Really? Really, that's your defense. You didn't know that marijuana was illegal. Now, part of the reason why this is troublesome for them is because other dispensaries that have gotten kicked out and have been evicted by their landlords have been asked to leave have these clauses in the lease that they write up. Excuse me there. They have a clause in the lease they write up that says that you can't be in violation of state, local, or federal law. The clause for Harborside's lease doesn't have that. In fact, according to Steve D'Angelo, he says that it makes explicitly clear what Harborside's activities are. They're claiming that they believed selling marijuana was legal in the state of California. Now they've been informed by the federal government that it is not legal. In papers filed this week, Concourse's attorneys state that it has taken action since learning that Harborside's activity at the property violates federal law. Really? Really? This is just amazing that it's taken this long for so many people to recognize that despite medical marijuana laws, marijuana is still illegal federally. You'd think they'd have heard after the drug czar has said that so many times. Reporting from KPIC.com, Associated Press, Portland, Oregon. When Ellen Rosenblum walked into a gathering of some of Oregon's most ardent medical marijuana advocates, the new attorney general was greeted like an old friend. Don Morris, director of a Washington County medical marijuana dispensary, hugged the 61-year-old former judge. More than once, participants referred to the state's top law enforcement official simply by her first name, the Oregonian newspaper reported. The response at the meeting Wednesday of the advisory committee to the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program showed how much backers of the program hope they have found an ally in Rosenblum. Pro-marijuana groups donated $200,000 to her campaign, about a third of her fundraising total, against Dwight Holton, the former U.S. attorney in Oregon. Rosenblum said she'd make marijuana enforcement a low priority. It was the first time an Oregon attorney general had met with the advisory panel, created by the legislature in 2005. Well, that's a sad state of affairs, isn't it? Here we pass medical marijuana in 1998, and as part of this act that we passed, we made the Advisory Committee on Medical Marijuana. People with expertise, patients, doctors, growers, people with expertise in this area to counsel the state, to counsel the medical marijuana program, to let them know, you know, what we thought, what we felt, and how it should move forward. Now, this council, this committee, has been ignored all throughout the time of medical marijuana in the state, the past 12, 13, 14 years. They have no statutory authority. They can't force the program to do anything. They can't even require the program to listen to their input so much. So it's kind of a bummer that that committee was formed, that was created in law, doesn't really have any teeth to it to make any standing changes to the law. So it's good news that we got Rosenblum, the attorney general, finally meeting with this committee, finally taking some input and recognizing that medical marijuana patients, by and large, as a community, want to work with the state. We want to find ways to coexist. We want to make sure that this program can be operated in a safe and efficient manner that provides the best access to the most patients. It's just finally, it's finally good to see the cannabis community flexing some political muscle, getting some money behind some candidates, and holding them accountable for their campaign promises. CBC News, Saskatchewan, pot smoking driver in Saskatoon deemed not impaired. Judge says ability to walk heel to toe not related to the ability to drive. A woman who admitted to using marijuana before getting into her car has been acquitted of impaired driving, with the Saskatoon judge saying he was not convinced her ability to operate a vehicle was affected. The case, recently published to an online legal database, concerned the arrest of a woman on June 19, 2011, who was pulled over during a routine traffic enforcement program. According to the judge, the officer directed her to pull over, even though she was driving appropriately and in her proper lane of travel. In the Saskatoon case, when the officer went to the woman's car, he detected what was described an overwhelming odor of marijuana. He decided to investigate further and learned from the woman that she had smoked some marijuana earlier in the evening. With that, the officer decided to have the woman perform a number of roadside tests, including walking heel to toe and touching the tip of her nose with her finger. The judge noted in his decision, quote, "She was only successful in touching her nose on one of six attempts. On the other five attempts, she touched her face right under her nose," end quote. The officer noted that the woman had reddened eyes, something consistent with marijuana use. A urine sample was also taken and confirmed that the woman had used marijuana. However, the judge was not convinced there was any evidence that the woman's driving ability was impaired. In his decision, the judge said he was left with several unanswered questions, including, what signs of impairment would one expect to see in someone who has been using marijuana? How long after using marijuana would you expect to see these signs, and how long would they last? Can the results of a drug evaluation test taken over 1.5 hours after the time of driving be reliably related back to the time the woman was stopped? Was the woman's performance in some of the tests an indication of poor balance or poor coordination? On the other hand, the judge found there was plenty of evidence to suggest the woman was not impaired, noting the officer did not observe any problems with her driving as she came to the check stop, when she was directed into the check stop, or when she was directed to drive out of the line of cars to a nearby parking lot. She had no problems understanding the officer or answering his questions and did not slur her speech. She was able to provide him with her license without any problems and had no difficulty following the officer's instructions or getting out of her vehicle. And she was polite and cooperative with the officer. The judge added he was not sure how the finger-to-nose test and the walking heel-to-toe test related to one's ability to drive a car. And this is a very interesting story. One of the things I can just hear the NOAA on I-502 people complaining about this, but there's a lot of differences. For one, in Canada, they have what are called check stops, which are roadside sobriety stops that would be unconstitutional in the state of Washington. They can't just pull people over, stop them, have them go by a roadblock. So that wouldn't apply. Also, the officer not demonstrating any probable cause for pulling her over or suspecting impairment could get that case thrown out of court in Washington, even if 502 passes. But the best news, they did a poll on this, an online poll, and they found 70% of the people on this poll found driving under the influence of cannabis was nowhere near as bad as alcohol.
It's 420 back in Idaho, where Russ and Carrie were born. So we have to go connect with our roots. You know what I mean? Please support these sponsors who support the Russ Belville Show.
Now, that's not to say you should be smoking and driving out there or thinking you're not impaired, but it's clear that the people know it's far less impairing than alcohol. And after a few years, when marijuana is legal and judges see these cases come through their courtrooms, these laws on per se DUID are easily going to be overturned. Stick around. Daily Toker Tunes coming up next.
I don't like it personally, but it's time for a conversation about legalizing marijuana. It's a multi-million dollar industry in Washington State, and we get no benefit. What if we regulate it? Have background checks for retailers, stiff penalties for selling to minors. We could tax it to fund schools and healthcare, free up police to go after violent crime instead. And we would control the money, not the gangs. Let's talk about a new approach, legalizing and regulating marijuana.
Now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens, non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no. It's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. Some silly thing, and that's the reason why.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, folks, welcome to the Daily Toker Tunes today. Herb can't call in today, so I'm Radical Russ here bringing you tunes. Herb Fasher Flower Hour will be on later tonight. It's a 30th anniversary show for Metal Blade Records. That's right, 30th anniversary of Metal Blade Records, playing a lot of Metal Blade artists, DRI, OSI, SFU, Armored Saint, Sacred Reich. It's going to be a good night tonight. Check that out. It is pre-recorded, as tonight, you could probably tell, there is a Boise State game. It's their opening kickoff game at Michigan State. It's going to be on ESPN at 5 o'clock Pacific time, so there will be no hour two tonight, as I've got to make my way to some TV so that I can watch my Boise State Broncos. But we've got some Herb Thrasher Flower Hour music for you today. This next video, filmed live at Seattle Hemp Fest just a couple weeks ago, is going to feature Coven, another one of the Metal Blade bands, and Herb did a great job on this. Iko as well, from Oregon Normal and THCF, did a great job filming this stuff, and Herb just wants to let you all know that we'll be back live with more great metal coming up in a couple of weeks on the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. But for now, we're going to turn things over to Coven from Seattle Hemp Fest. This is Iron Dick.
Everybody get up and dance. We'll be right back.
Sponsored by Cavigold.
Hi, this is Dan Michaels. If you're looking for professional voice talent for your commercial or podcast, I'm your man. Visit danmichaelsaudio.com for more information.
Plug your roller rink.
Oh, yeah.
What's happening, Groovy Cats? This is your Funk Master of Ceremonies, Big Daddy. And I want you to join me every Thursday night at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, right here at the Funky Roller Rink. National Cannabis Radio's home of soul, funk, and disco.
Funky-licious.
It's always a party at the Funky Roller Rink, baby.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is 28 after the hour. We are hoping to speak to Michael Kravitz from Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access about some recent stories here in Oregon. Unfortunately, we're unable to reach him at this time, but I will continue on with the story because I do think this is very, very important. Here in the state of Oregon, there's been a recent series of stories that have come out in our state's largest paper, the Oregonian, that have referred to the use of medical marijuana for post-traumatic stress disorder for the people suffering from that that traumatic brain injury. And the first piece began on Sunday. This last Sunday paper, Noel Crumby from the Oregonian wrote a piece entitled Oregon Medical Marijuana Backers Trying Again to Add PTSD to List of Qualifying Conditions. She goes on to write that the Oregon medical marijuana advocates are laying the groundwork to add PTSD to the list of conditions that qualify patients to use medical marijuana. They say many with the disorder are already in the state program because they have other medical conditions that allow them to legally use the drug. But as more veterans return home and struggle to resume their lives, advocates say it's time to recognize PTSD as a standalone condition. As with virtually all marijuana-related matters in the United States, the debate over expanding Oregon's program to include PTSD is politically charged. The drug's outlaw status under federal law makes it a lightning rod for controversy. Two previous attempts to add PTSD to Oregon's program have failed, and Colorado and Arizona officials recently rejected efforts to add the condition to their medical marijuana programs. Law enforcement in Oregon generally opposes the expansion of the program. Some drug treatment providers caution against treating PTSD sufferers with what they view as an addictive drug. Now, this began the discussion on this use of PTSD and the use of medical marijuana for PTSD. And they talked to a few veterans. Jared Townsend, a 27-year-old Iraq war veteran, says the medical marijuana helps him sleep and balance life out a little bit better. Says that it can also break a panic attack pretty quickly. Now, as far as medical marijuana in the, or as far as PTSD in the other medical marijuana states, New Mexico is the one state that has added it to its list directly. California also allows it because California has, for any other condition, a doctor feels marijuana can aid. And so PTSD, you know, we can definitely get a card in California or a recommendation in California for that. In New Mexico, the Department of Health says that 40% of medical marijuana patients list PTSD as their qualifying condition, far more than any other condition. Now, the process by which the Oregon advocates can add this to the state law is quite involved. They have to go through a petitioning process, has to be reviewed by a panel of experts. Oregon Health Authority is going to review this. And the problem is, on that panel are many people who have opposed medical marijuana forever. So there's not much hope here that we'd be able to get it past them. Since medical marijuana has been implemented here in the state of Oregon, there's only been one condition added over 14 years, and that's agitation related to Alzheimer's disease. However, medical marijuana advocates in Oregon do believe that the election of Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum is going to help out a lot in this fight to be able to at least be heard on this. The Oregonian goes on to cite some research on PTSD, and they say that there's just a lack of research on the topic. We've heard this many times from Dr. Mitch Earlywine when we talked to him on Wednesdays. There's just not a lot of research on PTSD and medical marijuana. Now, Dr. John Halpern, who's an assistant professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School, said that there's an overabundance of case reports suggesting that marijuana does aid PTSD sufferers, but the politics of marijuana bogs down any meaningful evaluation of its benefits. Halpern's only one of a handful of U.S. researchers who can conduct clinical research on humans using Schedule I drugs. Halpern says when it comes to research proposals involving Schedule I drugs, only marijuana studies are required to undergo an additional review by the National Institutes on Drug Abuse. You got that? If you're a scientist and you want to study LSD, you want to study heroin, you want to study PCP, you just have to go through the first level. But if you want to study marijuana, the National Institutes on Drug Abuse have to get involved. And quotes that we've found from NIDA in the past have shown they're not interested in allowing any studies through that show benefits for the use of marijuana. They will only fund studies that are interested in showing the problems with marijuana that will fit their ideological agenda of keeping marijuana prohibited. Now, this is the report. This was from the report from Noel Crummy. And again, this whole story came out in the Sunday paper and online at Oregon Live. It got a whole lot of comments, over 90 comments here that of people arguing about this. And this led to the Oregonian's editorial board to jump into the fray. Their editorial followed 2 days later on Tuesday, and it was titled "Pot for PTSD? Oregon's medical marijuana law needs grounding in science and medicine." And here we go. This is how they write this up. "If Oregon held a public meeting on whether to define marijuana as an effective treatment for post-traumatic stress disorder, here's what would happen. First, several Oregon veterans would testify about their positive personal experiences with marijuana in treating their combat-related stress and anxiety. Second, marijuana advocates would speak in favor of adding PTSD to the list of qualifying conditions for Oregon's medical marijuana program. How could we do any less, they'd ask, for people who've served our country so honorably? How could we let even one veteran suffer? Finally, a couple of drug treatment specialists would express concern about some common side effects of marijuana, including paranoia and addiction. At the end of the hearing, Oregon would wind up exactly where it started, short on clinical medical evidence, long on personal testimony, and overflowing with politically loaded arguments. It's a fine way to debate marijuana, as other states have found, but it's not a great way to practice medicine." The Oregonian's editorial board continues to say that there's no evidence that Oregon veterans with PTSD have a hard time obtaining medical marijuana cards. The inclusion of severe pain as a qualifying condition makes it possible for almost anyone to get a medical marijuana card if a sympathetic doctor is handy. Once again, Oregonian is spreading this myth that somehow it's easy to get a medical marijuana card in the state of Oregon. That it's just, it's real simple. All you gotta do, walk into some sympathetic doc, say you got a backache, you walk out with a card. It's not how it works, Oregonian. I'd invite you to sit down with some of these medical marijuana clinics, some of these patients, and see the hoops they gotta jump through just to get permission from the state to use a non-toxic herbal therapy. First, they have to go to their doctors, their current doctors, and gather up medical records from at least the past 3 years, three separate visits to a doctor where they have shown and been diagnosed and written in the chart notes that the person suffers from a qualifying condition. And again, let's just say it's chronic pain. So, at the very minimum, to begin with, a person has to see a doctor, not a sympathetic pot doctor, an actual real doctor, and see that doctor at least three times over the past 3 years, and go back to that doctor and collect the medical records proving that for the past 3 years. Now, I don't know how much your doctor costs, but three visits to a doctor, there's some expense. Then you got to take that to the so-called sympathetic pot doctor, right? Who's also a medical doctor, by the way, who also is required to review those records, those three medical records, and do a basic examination of the patient, right? So in addition to paying for your three regular doctor visits, there's a fourth pot doctor visit that you got to pay for. Then if you've gotten all that taken care of from your pot doctor, you'll get a signed recommendation, which is no good for anything, by the way. Just going to the doctor and having the doctor sign, hey, this person should be able to use marijuana, not good enough. You got pot in your hand and that recommendation, and you'll be reading that recommendation from a cell. Because you then have to take that recommendation to the state of Oregon, and you have to pay them $200 protection money to get your medical marijuana card. When you add up the three doctor visits, the fourth pot clinic visit, and the $200 you got to pay just to get on the program, that could be an expense of up to $1,000 for some people. $500, $750, somewhere up to $1,000 for some people. And often we're talking about, in this case, veterans. We're talking about veterans who in many cases are living at the poverty line or below. And all these hoops they got to jump through. And the Oregonian wants to say, well, it's easy to get a card. Almost anyone can get it. A lot of these veterans, a lot of these people who have qualifying conditions like chronic pain, and I've seen so many of them come through my wife's clinic and other clinics. And when I was working for Oregon Normal, I had so many who came to me who were so clearly qualified for a medical marijuana card. Clearly, even rabid opponents would say, oh yeah, that guy, give him some pot. And the most frustrating thing was how many of them would come to me and ask me how they need to get, how they would get a medical marijuana card. Or ask my wife, how do they get a medical marijuana card? And we begin the process. We say, well, first you have to get your medical records from your last three doctor visits. And they cut us off and they say, oh, well, I don't see the doctor. I use medical marijuana for my pain. I haven't been to a doctor in 5-10 years because I use medical marijuana for my pain. And now I want to be legitimate. Now I don't want to be a criminal. Now I do want to register with the state and have some arrest protection. And we have to say, well, sorry. The fact that medical marijuana has been working for you and you've not used traditional medicine means that you can't legally use medical marijuana. That's right. You got to go to the traditional medicine. You got to jump through the three hoops. You got to get your three appointments with the doctor over a 6-month period, by the way, before we can even start to talk to you about getting your medical marijuana card. So don't tell me, Oregonian, that it's easy to get a medical marijuana card. I deal with these people all the time and it's hard to get a card in this state. Now, continuing with this Oregonian editorial from Tuesday, they went on to say, there's also not a robust body of research showing marijuana as an effective medical treatment for PTSD. The state of Arizona, for example, recently decided not to add PTSD to their list of qualifying conditions for medical marijuana based on the scarcity and quality of available studies. Well, This is one of the things, this is another one of these circular arguments that the drug warriors always bring forth to you. Hey, we'd like medical marijuana. Oh, well, can you prove that it works? Well, no, we don't really have any studies on it because it's Schedule 1 and we're not allowed to do studies on it. Well, then we can't have it. Right? Well, why can't we have it? Well, because there's no studies proving that it's any good. Right, we can't get the studies because it's illegal. If you'd make it legal, we could get the studies. No, we can't make it legal. Well, why not? Because there's no studies. It makes you want to pull your hair out. You can't use the lack of available studies as reason to deny people for using marijuana for PTSD when you won't allow the studies that would prove the validity of their use. It's a catch-22 for these poor guys. Bad enough they gone and served the country 2, 3, 4 tours of duty out in 120-degree sands in the Middle East. Now we got to put them through this? And for what? To protect them from what? Oh dear, we wouldn't want soldiers to be, you know, smoking weed. We wouldn't want somebody who, you know, faced gunfire and IEDs to get addicted to the herb. What are we protecting them from? How many people do you need to hear from? How many people's own testimony does it take before you're willing to admit there's something to this? How many soldiers do you need to talk to? How many rape victims do you need to talk to? How many child abuse sufferers do you need to talk to who have gotten benefit from medical marijuana before you're going to believe what you're hearing? Lack of studies. Talk about your lack of, how about lack of compassion for these people? Well, you know, of course, I was very upset when I read this. And another person who was very upset by this is our guest columnist, and that's Michael Kravitz. And Michael Kravitz has been a guest on this show before. He's with Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access. And he was instrumental in getting the Veterans Administration to stop denying pain contracts to medical marijuana users in the medical marijuana states. So one of the best activists we got out there. He was infuriated by the editorial board's comments. And he wrote this guest editorial. Regarding the editorial, RX for Oregon's pot laws, I'm glad that the Oregonian editorial board thinks enough of the subject matter to dedicate an entire editorial just to respond to the excellent article by the Oregonian's Noel Crombie, Medical Marijuana for PTSD. However, some of the claims are misleading, and the tone is offensive to the men and women who I serve as a veterans advocate. First, many or most of the veterans who are seen at VA hospitals for treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder are given a host of medications, including strong painkillers. So, yes, many of those veterans are currently served by the provision in Oregon law that allows for chronic pain. But the inflated numbers of chronic pain patients on the Oregon medical marijuana program have become a red flag to law enforcement officials who are actively seeking to dismantle the program and strip Oregonians of their protection to use cannabis under a doctor's supervision. Cannabis is a well-proven pain medication that has stood the scrutiny of double-blind, placebo-based studies, so it sounds reasonable when the editorial board calls for similar studies for PTSD. The lack of such studies was cited as a factor in Arizona's decision, but that is under reasonable demand, given that the federal government has blocked our every effort to conduct these studies. The editorial board, being well-read, must know how hard we have tried to study this indication. And just to interrupt for a second, if you missed that part of the news a few weeks ago, that was when the NIDA, once again, denied a study that the DEA had approved of. They had approved. They said, all right, go ahead. You can use some cannabis to test these guys with PTSD and see how it works. But as we mentioned earlier, National Institutes of Drug Abuse also gets a say in it, and they're not interested in seeing any benefits out of cannabis. And so they scuttled the study. Right. Approved by the DEA, but NIDA said, no, this might look good. We can't have that. Let me go back to Michael Kravitz here. Finally, I want to, instead of addressing why, instead of asking why Arizona shot down our efforts to add PTSD as a qualifying condition, I think the better question would have been, why did New Mexico approve cannabis for PTSD? It did so after considering the available medical evidence. We have a preponderance of research on how cannabis works in the brain and body, the so-called endocannabinoid receptor system, and studies that show that the various chemicals in cannabis work for the various symptoms that we call PTSD. However, this information is complicated, and it takes a medically trained individual to understand this evidence, which New Mexico had in place, but unfortunately neither Arizona nor Oregon did. Finally, I want to address the tone of this editorial and why it is so offensive to the men and women who have served our country honorably in the U.S. Armed Forces. The editorial board portrays the veterans as pawns who are nothing more than a flag draped around the shoulders of potheads trying to change the law. Veterans come down and testify in support of a change in the law because they know cannabis works firsthand. That's simple enough. But then why does my organization, made up of and for veterans, support changing the law? Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access supports changing the law because we are losing 18 veterans a day to suicide, because the drugs the VA is throwing at these vets are ineffective, and because we have taken the time to consider the evidence. We believe that allowing for PTSD into the Oregon State Medical Marijuana Law will help us better understand how many people in the program are really suffering from post-traumatic stress and are not primarily pain patients. We believe that when this happens, it will go a long way to removing the stigma associated with seeking treatment for PTSD and will save lives. Thank you, Michael Kravitz, for that editorial. That is absolutely true. And the military suicide rate, these veterans, you know, 18 a day that we're losing, and we give them antidepressants that have warnings on the label that says may cause suicidal ideation. But we can't give them the weed. We can't give them the herb. They might get high. They might giggle and get the munchies. They might enjoy SpongeBob SquarePants. The things we're trying to protect our soldiers from. It's just insane that this is the state that we're living in right now, that this is the way it has to be. But we're going to make that change. We're going to work with great people like Michael Kravitz to continue fighting for our veterans to get access to one of the best medicines they got for post-traumatic stress. It's the least we owe them, the least we owe our soldiers. All right, when we come back, a little time for some radical rant. I'm going to talk about the end of National Cannabis Radio and the return of the independent Russ Belville Show. Stick around.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson, or Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Man, is that the Reaper Man?
That's the Reaper Man.
I believe he's losing his mind.
I think he's lost his mind.
This is a Russ Belville Show news alert. Whatever you do, don't smoke pot. You don't want to turn out to be a loser like Olympian Michael Phelps, actor Jack Nicholson, singer Miley Cyrus, rocket scientist Dr. Carl Sagan, pop star Rihanna, actress Cameron Diaz, country legend Willie Nelson, President Barack Obama, Cy Young pitcher Tim Lincecum.
Oh, have you ever met that funny Reaper Man? Have you ever met that funny Reaper Man? If he says he swam to China, sell you South Carolina. You know you're talking to that Reaper Man.
And over 100 million other Americans.
Have you ever met funny Reaper Man? If he says he walks the ocean, anytime he takes a notion, then you know you're talking to Reaper Man.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, folks, welcome back. Time for the radical rant for the last time here at NCR420.com. And just checking out the folks in the chat room saying, oh, no, bye-bye, NCR, fun while it lasted. Don't worry. What we're doing here, our little you and me hanging out here together in the afternoons, this isn't going away. We're going to still do this. We're going to still be here. You're not going to see really a whole lot of changes, aside from maybe that icon down there is going to go away. But other than that, you know, it's going to be the same old show. And the way I'm going to run this is we're going to host the live window off of RadicalRust.com. And a few other blogs out there. Pretty much anybody who wants to host the site, wants to show the show, we're going to do that. And I think this is going to be for the better in that I feel like this show needs to be spread to as many listeners as possible on as many platforms as possible. And that's my whole idea. And being locked down to just one website, NCR420.com, while it's been a great site and they've been great in supporting us, I really think it's time to branch out and do more and be shown on more outlets. So that's part of what we're going to do. But you'll always find the show window and the live chat at RadicalRust.com. And speaking of the live chat, we're going to switch back to using an IRC chat channel so that you can use your own independent chat apps if you like. It'll also provide for private rooms and direct messaging and such. So that'll be a major improvement. We're going to stay with video. We're going to stay with having multiple bit rates. We're going to stay with having the replay cycles that we have. So if you can't catch the show live, you'll be able to catch it on replay. We're also going to keep the shows that we produce here at Rolla J Studios. So you'll still catch A Different View, Ivy Island Hour, Ganja John Show, Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Hopefully we'll have a Viper Hour, Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink. We're also going to bring over some of the shows, some of the most popular shows from the network as well. However, I think I'm going to put probably more emphasis on the shows that we produce here, as well as provide a little bit more music during the early parts of the hours. So we'll be making these changes over the next coming week, and we'll find out how it all turns out. But it is kind of scary. It is kind of scary. Now, I do have income sources personally that will continue to work. You know, we won't have the same salary from NCR that I had, but National Cannabis Coalition is still interested in being a sponsor. They may be the sponsor of our news segment, so we'll have some funds coming in that way. I'm also going to be doing a lot more blogging for National Cannabis Coalition, for High Times, for Alternet, for Huffington Post, for the Weed Blog. So we'll have more revenue coming in that way as well. We're also going to be hiring full-time ad person to be able to sell advertising too. So we are just very excited about this. I really do believe us. You know, when we left Normal at the end of May and we were starting up in June, very thankful for National Cannabis Coalition to come along and help us out and rescue us at that point, kept us alive for 3 months. But I think both of us have realized that I need to be independent. This show needs to be independent. And part of it is no fault of anybody's here. You know, National Cannabis Coalition is looking at being a national political organization, not a media corporation, not a media empire, right? So National Cannabis Coalition needs to direct its focus on statewide initiatives that they're going to run, local municipal initiatives they're going to run, political campaigns, and so forth. And, you know, more power to them, because that's really the direction they need to go. I need to build this media thing. I need to build this show, and I want this to be the source of cannabis community coverage. We're going to cover NCC, Normal, MPP, SSDP, Safer, MAPS, Moms for Marijuana, Normal Women's Alliance, Safer, DPA, whatever the group is. And it's always been my dream. This has always been my goal here, is to be the network coverage, the news coverage of the cannabis community, and specifically the activist community. And so all of those groups, we're going to be bringing in segments from all of those groups to be a part here of the Russ Belville Show. Now, another thing that we're going to do as well is we got the big election coming up, and I've already gotten confirmation from the Washington and the Colorado campaigns for our report to be there live in their party headquarters on election night. Tentatively, we're looking at having Wiz Calico bring us some coverage from Oregon. We're going to send Cannabis Carry out to Denver to cover the Colorado initiative. I'll make my way up to Seattle to cover what's going on in Washington State. And then we've got correspondents in Massachusetts, North Dakota, Arkansas, and Montana that will bring us live coverage of their election results on election night. So, folks, we're just getting started. We are just getting started here getting started here with the independent Russ Belville Show. And just checking out everybody in the chat room, and I want to thank you all. There have been so many people who've been so supportive and so helpful. Big Daddy Fink helped us out a lot this last week, got us another cam, a nice little cam that we're going to be using. You know, Handmade Apparel out there, who's done so much work for us in promotions and hats and T-shirts and banners and all of that. Got to thank Libra Lounge for being one of the best shows that we've got on the network and being so supportive. Danny Danko and the crew at High Times with High Times Free Weed for donating their shows as well. Denton Ramsey out there with the Canna Truth Show. Dean Becker with Drug Truth Network. The Cannabis Cuts people, you've all been wonderful in donating your times and your time and talents to this network. And it's going to be, I'm going to build it back up. We will get this back the way I want it, the 24-hour news channel. We just have to work out the business aspects. We got to work out sponsorship. And some of the things we got as far as our plans here, are really, really going to boost the exposure of the Russ Belville Show. Like I said, getting it on a bunch of websites instead of having it on one, I think will really, really build our audience and give us a lot more opportunities to sell advertising and sponsorship. Also, there are a lot of entities out there that are eager to sponsor our election coverage, so that will be a big help as well. Also, before I forget, I've thanked all the sponsors and thanked all the fans. I have got to thank the hard-working people, my friends who've helped me put on this show, starting with Cannabis Carrie. Got to start with Carrie. Folks, you don't know how much she's put into this show for 4 years now, over 4 years. 2 hours live every day, another hour or two writing three news stories every day. She has really put in the work and, you know, as a volunteer for most of it. And that's part of why we're going independent as well, is that it's time for me to take the same risk my volunteers are taking, that risk of homelessness and not eating. So we're all in it together now, and we're going to work this and make it happen and build this to the point where we can all make, you know, reasonable salaries at this. None of us are looking to get rich. We just want to have enough money that we can pour all of our time into this and not have to spend time on menial jobs outside of this, right? So we're going to build this up so Carrie will have salary, Kalika will have salary. We're going to work this up. We're going to have a great, great show and a great business here. So big thanks to Cannabis Carrie for all the time she's donated. Ganja John for all the time that he has worked helping build this thing from the ground up, starting as an interview guest and then all the way to becoming his own cannabis superstar out there. So big thanks to Ganja John. Wiz Kalico, who came on as an intern and just took it and ran with it. I can't even imagine now doing this show without his help. And if you've watched the past week or so, you can probably see that as well. It's amazing all the stuff he does, from booking the guests to looking up reference information for me. Couldn't do it without him. Also, big thanks to Herb Thrasher, who's, you know, dedicated his time to building up these relationships with these artists, with these rock labels, that is going to just pay huge dividends in the future. I know it. He's got the best metal show out there. This is going to be a lot of fun to continue producing that. Also got to thank Brian the Red, who has come in on a volunteer basis over these past few months, helping out with some ninjineering and some tech work. He's been a huge help. Also, Iva Cunningham and Jen Alexander and Sarah Frank for putting on their A Different View show. And Jen and Iva are going to continue on that with our new Radical Rust channel. So we will continue that. Make sure you're following RBShow420 on Twitter and Radical Russ on Twitter, and check out my website, RadicalRuss.com. We'll have all the information as these things change. And just remember, we're not going to be here next week, so find something to do. And I'm leaving right now because, well, there's a Boise State game that I got to check out. So no Toker Talk Radio here. We're just going to play some music. Replays are coming up at 6 o'clock. God, I love you people. Thanks for joining us. And I promise, we will keep doing this. We will keep bringing you the latest news of the cannabis community. For everyone involved with the Russ Belville Show, I'm Radical Russ. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed.